We are only looking at the relationship based on the work of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in John 14, 15, 16, what you're really looking at are only a few verses per chapter. In general, they talk about the Lord, the Holy Spirit, but specifically there are only a few verses that talk about the Holy Spirit. There are related verses like verses on prayer, etc., etc. But the direct verses are only a few. Although it looks like a lot, it's actually very little. You look at John chapter 14 and look for direct references to the Holy Spirit, and you find the first one mentioned in verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16 and verse 17. So we find verse 16, okay? Verse 16 and verse 17. Oops. Verse 16 and verse 17. Some direct references, and you look for some more in John 14, and you find some more references mentioned in verse 26. Verse 26. So it's not that many verses. I know that in the end you can relate the whole chapter, but we always need what I call a starting point. Even a satellite or a rocket that goes around the earth has to start from somewhere. They have to have a launch pad. In the same way, when you do Bible study or when you're researching a subject, you need what I call a springboard. Some of you could be preaching or teaching in some topics, and you don't know where to start, or maybe you're given a whole book to teach, etc. Look for the starting point first. The other things will just come together as you look at it. All the other verses will relate in the end to the Holy Spirit if you go deeper and deeper into it. But have a starting point. Before you launch a rocket or a satellite to go around the whole earth, cover the whole earth, move to all the 24 time zones, you need to establish a launch pad. So we establish a launch pad. These are little principles that you can apply in your little study or sometimes in your test or little assignment, so that you could zoom right to the topic without sidetracking. So we build a launch pad. We just take the main verses out that relate to the Holy Spirit, especially when you only have half an hour to do what I've asked you to do. And you know, in half an hour, definitely we would never expect a 10,000 word thesis. Nor will we expect you to cover everything. But in half an hour, what we need to do is to give as many points as possible. The same way when some of you are called to preach, maybe called to preach on radio, or called to give a devotional talk, your assignment is half an hour. So we can be long-winded preachers, but when we give half an hour, we try to stick to one half an hour. We can spend the whole half an hour talking about nothing, which some have succeeded. And we can spend a half an hour filling it with main points. And that is my approach. If I'm asked to share a devotional talk, 15 minutes, I just give a few main points, a few illustrations, finish. But when you're asked to, no time limit, of course you could expand. You could do a lot of things. But we need to limit ourselves based on the amount of time that we have available. So we do a launch pad. And then John chapter 15, look for verses that relate directly to the Holy Spirit. They're not that hard to find. 26 and 27. Verses 26 and 27. You find the direct verses. Now all the others could be related indirectly, because we can always say everything is related. It's true. But let's look for the launch pad, the direct verses. Isn't it? Two main verses. Now let's look at chapter 16. On verses that relate to the Holy Spirit, and we find more actually from verse 7. Verse 7 right on to, let's take up to verse 14. So altogether about 7 inclusive would be 8 verses. I think we need verse 15 too. So there is verse 15 that is necessary on the part of relating and glorifying the Father. Verse 15. And lower down, as we continue looking for verses that relate to the Holy Spirit, most of the others talk about prayer, etc., etc. So we have roughly about 16 verses, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 verses, to look at in just 3 chapters. And if some of you have been looking at every verse, then understand that there is never the approach when you have a test or when you have other little things to do. We always try to keep precise. Get a launch pad. The same way some of you are writing your thesis in the midst of it, if you haven't begun, God have mercy on you. And I know that sometimes, it's just like writing a book. Sometimes when you have time to write a book, when I do start, I don't like to stop because there's a flow. In the same way, if you never get started, you'll never get the flow. And some of you wondering, oh, how can I write on this subject? If you never get started, you'll never get the flow. So look for some main theme, and then just start doing it. As you do it, it will increase. And lo and behold, suddenly you got more to write than you can put in. It always works that way. Get a launch pad first. This will encourage some of you to finish your thesis as fast as you can. And if you have finished, praise God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just look for launch pad in some verses or whatever topic you're doing, and then they will help you. Like now all we did is just list the verses. We haven't even analyzed the verses. We just list it and keep it in different compartments. And since we have to compare with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the whole topic is based on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is obvious that the gifts of the Holy Spirit refer to the 9 gifts. Da-da-da-da. Revelation gifts, power gifts, and worker gifts. And this should be second-hand knowledge for us. We are not going to look at all this. These are ABCs for normal Christians. Bible school students must go beyond it. We know the ABC, we could name it by heart. Revelation gifts, 1, 2, 3. Power gifts, 1, 2, 3. Worker gifts, 1, 2, 3. Give a single word definition of all the different gifts. Wisdom, well, revelation of things concerning the future. Word of knowledge, revelation of things of past and present. Discerning of spirits, the ability to see into the spirit world. And the gift of faith, a supernatural impartation of faith for to a specific person in a specific time to perform a specific task. And then we have the working of miracles, the supernatural impartation of power to work a miracle that's imparted to a specific individual for a specific time to work a specific work. And the gifts of healing, all the various areas of healing, including spirit, soul, and body, including diseases caused by demons organically or in other areas, whether by demons, by organic, or by natural causes. Then we have the vocal gifts. The gift of prophecy, we all know, is a supernatural utterance that God gives in a known language. And then tongues is a supernatural utterance that God gives in an unknown language. Interpretation is a supernatural ability to interpret the unknown language, that's all. So we should have all these things at the back of our mind. We should know them like the back of our hand. And having those things, we relate to these things that talk about the Holy Spirit. And the reason I put them in 3 columns and 3 sections is that they actually fall in the exact order of the 3 groupings. We all know by heart that the 9 gifts are divided into 3 groupings. The 3 gifts or revelation gifts reveal something. Power gifts do something. Vocal gifts say something. And as we relate the gifts together to John chapter 14, looking at this verse again, having this as our background, we look back at this. And then we could relate. We could compare. We could analyze. We must know these verses, and then we know that basic truth of the 9 gifts of spirit, then only we can relate. And then it's very easy from there. In John chapter 14, looking at verse 16, 17, some things that he talks about the Holy Spirit, without trying to go too far, just taking it as it is in the Bible, in verse 16, it says that I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. That is quite general about the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and you will be, he will be in you. Now it says two things about the people of the world. One of the main points that is mentioned, that the world sees not, I put it in Old King James style, and the world know not. Okay? The world know not, and then it goes into that you know the Holy Spirit. Look at the word know very carefully and see how it relates to revelation. You see the connection now? Once you see the connection, the word know, to revelation, it will spark up a lot of sub-points. What do we mean by know? The knowing that we have is something that the world doesn't see and the world doesn't know. It has to be the realm of revelation. It has to be higher than natural knowledge. It relates straight away to the first grouping, revelation gift. Just from the relationship, you could build a lot of sub-points. From there, you could pull in the other verses that surround these verses and see what it means now. Like I said, the Bible is so interesting, you could look at it from many, many ways. One single verse, you could look at it from 10,000 ways. And we grow and we learn about the Bible by looking at it from more and more angles, like different facets of a jewel. One more verse in John 14, that is verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. We haven't really gone very deep yet. It looks quite interesting and deep, but we haven't really gone very deep yet. I just list one point here, list one point there. We haven't really analyzed it much. Correct? What we did was just look at the word and see the word know. The word know not, the word see not, and then see the word here, revelation, that reveals something, and that's all. We haven't gone really deep yet. All we did was just taking the verses. Not much analysis done yet. But there is another study on the word 26, and the second area is the word teach all things. Teach. And I put the word there, all things. Teach all things. The word is all things. Thank you for the amen. Must have a late night, huh? And that's all right. You need to yawn now, quickly yawn. Okay, thank you. Hope you brush your teeth. Teach all things. Okay. You got it. Teach all things. Teach all things. And learning should be fun. John 14, verse 26. Teach all things. And then the second area is bring to your remembrance all things. The third thing that we see analyzed is the word remembrance. Remembrance. Such a lovely word. And all things, or remember all things, right? Instead of making it a noun, bring to your remembrance all things, correct? Yeah. Use the word, the noun for the word remember. The remembrance of all things. And do you realize that if you keep looking at these verses and look 1, 2, 3 and look at Revelation, do you realize that behind these verses are the keys as to how revelation gives operate? I'm just giving you a little secret code now. First, I give you the code. Then I give you the key to interpret the code. That, let me use a different color now. I haven't done any interpretation yet. I'm just pointing the way. Because Bible school students no need to be told what to do as much as they show and given little keys to discover things. And make the Bible interesting. I haven't done anything, just listed there, listed here, point to some things here, and just point at one main fact, and that's something that comes from my side. That I believe by looking at it, it reveals how the revelation gifts operate. We know what the revelation gifts are. We could even quote examples in the Bible of the occurrences of revelation gifts. Correct? We could quote from the Old Testament, the revelation in the word of wisdom given by the prophet. And the word of wisdom is operating in the book of Acts. We could quote incidents and find what they are, define them. But if I know what every Christian wants to do, and what every Christian desires, and what every minister wants desires, is we not only need to know what, but we need to know how it operates, correct? And surely the Bible doesn't tell us what without telling us how. It would be unfair. God always tells what and how. If we will look at God's word long enough and discover it in the word, we can discover some of the how through some people sharing with us from their experience. They tell us how the word of knowledge operates. They tell us how they experience those things. We can learn some things from that. But ultimately, all learning in the Bible and all spiritual growth has to return back to the Bible. Sometimes some people in their zeal and in their subjectiveness share the how based on very peculiar things that may be outside the realm of the Word of God. It's not out of the Word of God. It is outside but not against, still so acceptable. But sometimes it's outside and against, something is funny. And I would put a check on that. If somebody says that in order to receive the baptism in tongues, I need to lay hands on a person and then tell him to receive, saying all those things, and then tell him, okay, now you say la 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 with me. The person says, okay. No, I said la la la, no, I'm just pretending. And the person says, la la la. Oh, they really did. And then I say, okay, now say na na na.
La la la.
And say, la la la.
La la la.
La la la. La la la. And say, faster. La la la. La la la. You got the tongues now. Now, that may be the most peculiar method to get people to receive the baptism in the Spirit. And sometimes a person may even succeed, correct? But I think their how is definitely questionable. Questionable. In the end, our how needs to relate back to the Word of God. We have to be scriptural about our how. How else do we have protection? Now, we have to be generous. We have to give room for diversions and differences and personalities and styles. No problem about that. As long as it doesn't contradict the word, even though it's outside the word, fair. Be generous. Give a chance to all. But when it contradicts the word of God, we need to make a stand. Even if the person says, well, but you did receive, but this and this and that, yes, thank you, and I thank you that you do have results, but it's more in spite rather than because of what we do. And one thing, the real situation in the early charismatic move, some people minister that way. You may not have met them, I have met too. They minister that way. They get people to follow. Some of them get people to follow their tongue. And they go, follow. Even though I was very new, I was still a Baptist. I was new to all these things, and who am I to judge these people? They're more experienced than me, older than me. But I hold on to the fact that one day, the Bible will always be the way that we all must follow. And from the very beginning, I never accepted that method. I said, there's something that's wrong about that. And I will not practice that. And if we will now hold to the standards that we discern from the Word of God, because you are the generation that will be the generation tomorrow. What you're discovering now and what you're implementing now in your life will be the move in the next 10 to 20 years. The move that is called the move now was implemented 20 years ago in people's lives. 10 to 20 years ago. People were implementing it individually in their lives. And suddenly it comes to the forefront. So if we always want to be where God is moving, hold on to this area that the how must be sealed from the Word of God. Not that we will immediately discover all the hows in the Word of God, but at least the basic pretext and understanding is there. That we need to look at it there. So there is, without going further and revealing what the real key and secret is, there is a revelation of the how in this thing. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He told us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, 16, and we don't see it. He didn't mention the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, when the Holy Spirit of God comes. Well, Jesus may not have spoken that way, but at least it's more imaginative to have him speak that way than a squeaky voice. Comes, right? Most probably he has a reasonably baritone voice. And he said, when the Holy Spirit has come, these things will happen to you. He did not exactly mention the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, but they were hints. Because in the Bible, all things are connected. And even things you never realize, you will find the section of the gifts of the Spirit also in different areas in the Bible. If you look hard enough, you can even find the nine gifts in the book of Revelation in some symbolic form. That's how interesting the Bible is. It may take time for us to discover some of those things, but it's always there. It makes the Bible interesting. Now let's look at verse 26 and 27 of John 15. Verse 26. When the Helper comes, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, can you all find 3 points from there? Let me give you a chance to try. Let's get our brother here who has been so zealous and cooperative and tra-la-la. Oops, let me get a different color back. Back to the blue color now. What's the first thing that is mentioned here? Bear witness. Okay. And you got the word bear witness. You will bear witness. Correct? Okay. You got the word bear witness. Bear witness of me, correct? Somebody else get another point from that. Testify. Don't forget that. Testify. Testify of me. There's a third point hiding somewhere inside. Somebody else? Huh? Spirit of truth is found up here as well, correct? He's also called the Spirit of Truth. He's also called the Spirit of Truth. Correct? And Helper. That Helper and Truth are more general references. Okay? I will put that in a category. Maybe I'll follow along with you and put that in a general category. Okay? There are specific categories and general. Because you find that the Spirit of Truth is mentioned 1, 2, 3. Helper is mentioned 1, 2, 3. Therefore, to be consistent, you cannot put it in one section. You must put it as for all sections. So that will be for all sections. Let me use this little column for the all sections one. It's called truth. Now, this also bears reference to what we are looking at. And it is called, for lack of space, helper, correct? It is your helper from the word advocate, parakletos. There's one more little point there. Verse 27. You have been with me from the beginning. You have been. You see the word because? When you have the word because, whatever follows it must be important. So there must be a point that out there. And you also will be witnesses because of this reason. So however you face this reason, you can put, for lack of phrases, we just put it as it is, being with me. Jesus says you've been with me from the beginning. From the beginning. And those are 3 points that we got from there. Whatever this word being with me from the beginning means, we don't know yet. But we know that that must be a point. See, the Bible doesn't have points that necessarily rhyme. Sometimes it does, or sometimes it doesn't. But everything starts with P. Power, praise, and play, or something like that. It would be very poetic if that happens, but it doesn't happen all the time. But if you know there's a point, even though it doesn't seem to rhyme or whatever, just leave it in as a point. And then we'll try to rhyme it later using different words. But it is a definite point because he will testify on me, that's 1 point. You will bear witness of me, or you will bear witness, that's 1 point. Because you have been with me from the beginning, it's a definite point by itself. Be with me. These little things give you the secret of power. And what we will say is consistent. There is no power, no dunamis, unless you fulfill some of the simple conditions like being with him. Power comes from being with God. Not just being with people, being with God. The Bible shows us that when they tarry in Jerusalem in the upper room for about 10 days, they were clothed with power from on high. The Bible tells us and shows how when the early disciples spent much time in prayer, the power of God manifests in Acts chapter 4. There is a relationship that we need to look at. Again, may I bring your attention to the fact that Jesus did reveal how to have power in this thing. We will look at it in detail as we go along, but all we are doing is just pointing to what the Bible is already saying, so it's not sin. Then we have John chapter 16. And it's a long section there. Chapter 7, chapter 16, verse 7 to verse 15. Because it's so long, we may just want to summarize some of the points and group them together. Let me read from verse 7 again. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Now these are all things he has been speaking from John 14, so we can put it under the general area. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And now he begins to talk specifically something different from John 14, 15. Now what are we looking at? Something different. He will talk about something about the Holy Spirit that he never mentioned in the other two chapters. It says, when he has come. So because it's such a list of points, can I take this little chart off? These are all probably imprinted on your mind already. Okay. So we have more room here. And in John chapter 16, wow, what time is your break again? 10:30, okay. And in John chapter 16, wow, what time is your break again? 10:30, okay. Praise God. John chapter 16, must never forget your break. John chapter 16. And
we have here in verse 8. When he has come. For lack of other words, I just put it as the Bible gives it. He has come. And under come, he lists several little points, correct? He was da-da-da. And three things. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He will come, and the results are conviction, of sin, and of righteousness, and finally, of judgment. So he will convict the world of three things. I leave it as one point because it's so so many things inside. Then in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He talks about the disciples. However, now he goes to another point. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, and he has come, he convicts. He uses the same phrase, when he has come, and points to something's happening when he has come. He will guide. He will guide you into all truth. And for he will not speak on his own authority. He will guide you into all truth, and he will speak not on his own authority, but on another authority, that is the authority of God. But whatever he hears, he will speak. So it goes backward there. And he will tell. Seeing Jesus leave it as another word, I leave it as another point. Although speak and tell are related, but if you analyze it deeper, they are actually different. To tell and to speak, think about it. It's two different things. Two different things. Tell conveys something has occurred. Speak may include the fact that something has occurred, but you may be talking about something that has not occurred, or something that you're thinking about but have not occurred. So that's why I leave it at the point. Tell. And it says in verse 14, he will glorify me. And here's the word, glorify. He will glorify me, for he will take. All these are just put together. For he will take of what is mine, and he will declare. He will declare. And oops, can you see from there? He will declare. And have you realized how the emphasis, with the exception of the first, has always been on the spoken? And I'll bring it to you that John chapter 16 has a revelation involved in the how of the worker gifts. Just waiting to be discovered. As much as it gives here. And unknown to us, even before Paul wrote his epistle to the Corinthians, Jesus has already given us the secrets of the revelation gift, the power gift, and the worker gift. Waiting for us to analyze and look into them to see how we can move into those things. Now, that, having outlined this, I have not added anything. I have not even spoken anything new, except pointing the fact that they do point to some how. And you can see that if you have all these things, and you were to answer the question, relate John 14, 15, 16 to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's a whole lot to write inside. Isn't that right? Some of you were probably looking at verse 1 here. You know, do not let your heart be troubled. I'm going to my Father, the mansions in heaven. And you're dreaming about a mansion in heaven and you forgot, relate to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you're probably stuck at verse 1 and 2. How does the mansion of God relate to the gifts of the Holy Spirit? It's going to take you at least 3 hours to relate that. When you get a launch pad and you just list down the things about Holy Spirit, because you're not looking at anything else except the Holy Spirit. We could say, relate the gifts of the Holy Spirit, relate the fruit of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, 16 to the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22, 23. Then we will look at different verses. Correct? We will straight away look at different verses. And everywhere where you find the word peace, love, joy, fruit, you start listing them now. Can you see the approach now? The Bible is a very simple book to approach. It's so simple that we need to be complicated to complicate it. If we just take it as it is, and take it one step at a time. And I want to encourage you that there's an old, I think it's an old Chinese saying, that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Your thesis of 10,000 words begin with the first line. You take it a little at a time. You don't look at the whole thing. Cannot. If you have to go and build the KLCC, the Twin Towers, I mean, it's going to be taller than the Empire State Building. You keep looking at the plan and say, you can do that for the next 20 years, nothing is built. But you will start now, doing whatever little. Some of you feel that you're going nowhere in your ministry, nowhere in life. Look very carefully. It is not the big things you do or the giant steps you take. Sometimes in life we do have some giant steps to take. But it is a small little incremental step you take every day. You and I are growing physically. Some grow fat, some grow thin, some grow more wrinkles. Once upon a time we were little babies. Some of you just have babies. Yeah, that's right. So you just have a baby. So baby? Going to, okay. Going to. Oh, Albert Ma, right? He's just a baby. Every day you look at your baby. Do you notice it growing? No. But other people who don't see it that often, every time say, hey, grow la. It's grown. Correct. In life, it is a small little incremental thing that takes place every day that change the world. Of course, by the time it gets reported in the newspapers or publicized and advertised, it has been a combination and a sum total of many incremental steps. So take life one step at a time. Take your ministry one step at a time. Your open door to preach to 1 million people at one time, your biggest dream. To preach to 1 million people in some stadium in Timbuktu that has not even been built yet. Start now. In your small little room that you share with 4 others. Struggling with your rental. But what you do every day is incremental to the success of that. Just want to encourage you. Don't try to do too big a thing. Take things one step at a time. I would never have gone to all these things or expect myself to go, be able to see all these things early. But as you learn to take things one step at a time, slowly whatever little ability you have, whatever gifts God has in your life, whether it be word or knowledge, the fruit of the Spirit, or whatever things God has in your life, will have a chance to grow. Each one of you is a tree. None of you are little tauge. They grow over a few days and get eaten after 1 or 2 weeks. You are trees. You may take several years to produce your big fat durian or mango. So whatever fruit tree you are in God, take time to grow. Some of us say, oh, but Jesus is coming soon, Pastor. So what? If he comes tomorrow, does it make any difference? That you don't sleep for the next 24 hours for 1 year because he's coming? No. Just do whatever you can in your own little way each day. And if Jesus comes tomorrow, you will still get your reward for whatever he's called you to be faithful to up to that time. And I never like to see Bible students stressed up. The ministry is, listen, if the ministry is not fun, you're not going to enjoy it. I know some people make as if Bible school is not fun. Let me tell you, it should be fun. If you don't learn to have fun now where you are in Bible school, you will never have fun the rest of your ministry. It's going to be tough. So take it one step at a time. Don't get stressed out. Now, that doesn't mean that you sleep about 23 hours a day and work 1 hour. No. Take the little steps that you can each day. Little steps. And I enjoy in life, both in my spiritual life, in my physical life, in my mental life, and in whatever things I do, I like to take little things and keep growing. I like to expand myself. You notice that I'm not writing with my left hand. It's not as nice, lah. Give me another year. But after a while, you know, it took me months to write with my left hand. When I started writing, it looked worse than my son Jerry's writing. Now it looks only as nice as his writing. Still can't beat my right hand. But these are small little things that I think that, you know, it's good in life to expand, to do something new. And a little bit at a time. I mean, give me another year or two, I will write as well as my left hand, as with my right. And I'm sure there will be side benefits mentally, side benefits physically. There are many little things that you could do in life, many little achievements you could do in ministry. The same, let's say, in the financial life. People may look at my life and say, hey, you're blessed financially. It is not one big giant step. The small little steps I took. I remember my first offering of $1,000 while I was in Penang. Oh, I hold it so fearfully. I never seen $1,000 in my life. Counted it many times. There was counted it for the third or fourth time. The Lord said, this is your first fruit. You know the rest of the story. And I gave it to Maurice Cerullo Ministry because at that time he was blessing my life. From then onwards, I learned to be faithful in small little finances. To learn to use the finances carefully, to invest it carefully, to pray, to ask God's wisdom. And so step by step, God grows. And then you learn to buy your first car. Then from your first car, you learn to buy your first house. From your first house, you learn to buy your first shop. From your first shop, you learn to buy your first stadium. What else you want to do? Take one step at a time. So don't rush. I know Jesus is coming, but rushing will make it worse. He is coming, but your rushing and your panic will make it worse. Right. I mean, the baby is coming. Yeah, the baby is coming. Oh, the baby is coming. Quickly, let's get this. You will damage the baby and kill the mother. Yes, Jesus is coming. Yes, we don't have that long a time. And Jesus is definitely coming, and we are in the last days. My personal estimate, I mean, we may have another 30 odd years. I mean, no one can predict, but each one of us have our time scale. But it's long to some, short to some. To me, it's short. But we need to be faithful. Small little incremental steps that you take will change your life. Spiritually and even mentally, I'm not like my school. In my school days, I was not as brilliant. I was only an average student. Although I can play and do things, but the interest was not there.
I learned that in everything we must be number one. Everything we must excel. Everything we must be able to do well. It changed. And slowly, things change. And you fellowship with people, your life change, impartation and refreshing and fellowship. And things change. I'm not the same person anymore as I was last time. I remember when I was in Bible school, like you folks, oh, I was probably the most untidy fellows. I never learned to comb my hair. My hair never had a line. You wouldn't believe it. I still have some of those old photos. And I cannot bring it for you to see. You know what I do when I was in a dormitory and when I wake up in the morning? I never even own a comb. Not because I couldn't afford, because I don't comb my hair. I just go there. Yes, that's it. I wear a red faded jean and a factory t-shirt. You know, like those people factory, they got the shirt given to them. I wear those for my classroom situation. But of course, I was different people got different personality. It was obvious that I'm someone who likes to study and read books. But I think we're all different. Some of you are different. And sometimes we think that the most capable, most intellectual can succeed in ministry. There's something more than that. Now we need to develop our mental abilities, our physical abilities, our health. I maintain my health very well. I go for a walk, go for a jog, right? In ways that other people at my age may be correct. And just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't look after my health. So we must be consistent in every area. And even if some of you look at each other, just remember this. Rodney Howard Brown was not one of the best Bible students. He was so slow, according to some of his fellow students, that people think that he was hopeless. But look at him today. Aren't you encouraged? Couldn't even do his term paper well, couldn't do study well. Now that doesn't excuse some of you for not studying well. It was supposed to encourage you to study and not discourage you from studying and performing. And Paul Lang and David and myself, we are fellowshipping, we're saying, it is strange some of the people who succeed. You know, some people who we think never succeed, they succeed. I mean, they don't look so good in class, they are not the great A's in class, and they don't seem to be able to succeed, but they succeed in ministry. Others are great A's and they go in line and they don't seem to succeed. Of course, some are great A and they go and they do succeed. But there's something more than mental knowledge, performance, that makes one succeed. Personally, you know what makes one succeed in my personal life that I view? One of the laws of success. Succeed in incremental little things. Let the total success and the ultimate success take care of itself. You just succeed in what you want to do one day at a time. Even Jesus teaches principle in Matthew 6, correct? Jesus teaches to take one day at a time. This is from our master himself. He says, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about your needs and all these other things that come. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his basic thing was, take it a day at a time. He says, sufficient therefore is the evil in this day. In this day, correct? Read Matthew 6 again and you see the principle that bringing you a good principle for success in your life, in your ministry. Take it one day at a time. Just live every day for God. And at the end of a year, you'll find that you are somewhere in God. Praise God. Well, that was a little sidetrack just to encourage you. And we'll look into the analysis when we get back from the break. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We ask, O God, that you help us, encourage us, and build our lives up in you. I thank you for each precious child and student here, Lord of yours. I pray, O God, that you would cause them to rise up to follow you. Lord, we are not just called to Bible college. We are all called to follow Jesus. He is our master. He is our Lord. He is our everything, Lord. Lord, we do want to follow you. We want to be like the master. We want to walk on this earth, work the signs and wonders you want us to do, speak the words that you gave us to speak, bring eternal life to those who need eternal life, O God. We pray, Father God, that you cause each one of us to realize that our ultimate call is to walk with Jesus.
to walk in line with your word, to follow after your spirit, and do all those things you want us to. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's just spend some time in prayer.
Is my ear.